for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, Watch Night Service, December the 31st, 1998. Final service of the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is tape one of two tapes. Bruce Miller, Bob Bruce, Glenn Miller, and Dr. Null are speakers on these tapes. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter tonight for a short time. Who'll give me about 10 minutes to preach tonight? See the hands.
Now, don't go at them all together, though.
I did. Yeah, I got three so far. Hallelujah. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and the 3rd verse. Kind of hear in the spirit today, this afternoon, a cry for help. A cry for deliverance. A cry for, it says, I almost got everything I needed at camp this time. But there's still just something missing. There's just something else I need. And we believe in God to minister to that something else tonight, to that other need, for that completion, for that satisfaction. 1 Peter 5 and verse 3 starts with verse number 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples unto the flock. Hallelujah. I looked that word up this afternoon about being lords over God's heritage. And you know what I found out? It means exactly what it says. It means lording it over someone. Hallelujah. And the correct rendering was that the evil of elders lording it over the saints that are under their spiritual care. Hallelujah. And what's all that mean? Well, it means there are those that will hurt you. That means that if you live long enough, sometime or another, somebody is going to say something or do something in church that's going to hurt you. Hallelujah. That's going to happen. It's inevitable. It will happen. And usually, when we get hurt, we pack up our bags and walk out. Say, I don't have to sit under that. I'm leaving. I'm out of here. Gone. Hallelujah. Well, I submit to you that's a normal reaction for a carnal Christian. That's a normal fleshly reaction when you're offended, either retaliate or withdraw. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Galatians 2, verse 9, and find out that some other people had differences of opinion. Galatians 2, Paul writing to the church at Galatia, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they under the circumcision. Verse 10, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Paul is saying there's a difference of opinion here. There's a difference of opinion. And I'm going to preach to the heathen, taking Barnabas with me, but the rest of the guys are going to go to the Jewish nation. Circumcision. There was a conflict between circumcision and uncircumcision. Peter tried to get all the disciples, whether they were Gentile or Jew, circumcised. And so there was a big clash in the church, history tells us. But you notice it said there that the saints had gave him and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas, the right hand of fellowship. They blessed them, saints. They blessed them. Even though they was leaving, they blessed them to go in their ministry. Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, it says in Acts, that I've got a work for them to do, and they were blessed and sent forth. Even though they still had differences of opinion. Hello? So see, it's possible to leave in good terms. It's possible, even though you agree, you can agree, or you disagree, but you can agree to disagree. And go with the grace of those that's over you. I got to go to Kansas City this last year, and Rick Joyner was over there. And he said, he was preaching, he says, now I'm sure that by now I've offended most all of you in here, and if you will turn to Hebrews 13:17, I can offend the rest of you. He had my attention, I like that. Hebrews 13 and, excuse me, 7, I guess it is. Nope, 17. Obey those that have rule over you. Obey them that have rule over you. And I can see when someone has an offended spirit, that that'd be tough medicine to take. When someone's done it wrong and they've talked about them perhaps, or worked against them, or undermined them, or something, and they just smeared them completely in their church, where they're no longer accepted. As a matter of fact, there's a disrespect on their ministry. And all of this takes place, and yet they can leave gracefully. God may challenge some of you to leave. Hello? To leave with your fellowship. But the question is, how are you going to leave? Well, they don't believe in deliverance, so I'm going to go. Let's go. Emma tickled me earlier. She said, you know, you're sounding more and more like David Brogdon every day. And I said, that's because he's my pastor now. Hallelujah. You're just kind of feeding off into him. That boldness and everything to do with it. Picked up a book in the back a while ago, and it was talking about the book written by Daniel Quayle. How many remember him? There's a little paragraph there. I don't know if it was one of his quotes, but it seemed like it would be, and it really was a blessing to me. It says, how you exit is important, especially if you're thinking about going back. Now, in colloquial English and modern hillbilly, they say, don't burn the bridges. You might have to walk back over. Hello? 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 Galatians 2:9, it said that James, Cephas, and John were pillars in the church. It seemed to be that they were pillars. You know how to tell a pillar? Or as you say, you know the saints from the ain'ts? A pillar of God perhaps will get offended and smeared and everything, and they'll walk out the door quietly. Nobody but him and the pastor will ever know it. But those that are not pillars, and we'll just call them bruised reeds for a moment. Everybody in the church got to know how they got hurt before they walk out. And they got to try and drag as many people with them as they can. Hallelujah. But you know, the difference is that God is calling us to be pillars. He's calling us to be pillars in the house of God. Stand up for a minute, will you, Dad? Turn around. Now, there's a big, stout fella. I wouldn't want to meet him in a dark alley. I'm glad he's my friend. Hallelujah. Richard said to me a while ago, he said, do you care if I do you a body slam? I said, can you wait for the food to digest? See, my flesh is dead and it wouldn't affect it, man. Hello? At least not today. Pillar. There was a prophecy I got in Kansas City that I was solid. And that guy went and slapped these big granite pillars in that place. They just locked down. He didn't flinch or move a bit. He went and slapped these granite pillars and said, God has called you to be a pillar in the church. Solid, immovable, unshakable, unquenchable, and able to stand up when the rest of the church is falling apart. Not only has God called me, but He's called all of us to be pillars. All of us to be like Samson, but yet not with our eyes poked out because of rebellion. Hello? But able to stand and pull in the pillars to defeat the enemy and let the house fall down on them. God has called us. But you know, with every calling like that, there's a Delilah somewhere. There's an Apollyon somewhere. There's a sweeter somewhere that's sweetie or sweetest thing, whatever you want to call it, sweet thing. Come here, lover girl. Come here, lover girl. It wants to take you down. It might be that person that says it's so unlovable. And she finds you, they find you romantically attractive. Hallelujah. But watch that flesh. Just like them seats that didn't get in that closet and I prophesied over them. The Bible says, set your affections on things above, not on the things of earth. You can't just fall in love with anybody. Hello? The Bible teaches to guard your heart, guard your affections. Hello? But you know, we're prone as human beings to let our guard down. Even though wisdom and the Holy Ghost will try to get us to, look, just beware. And we'll think, oh, that person, they never hurt me. They love me. Be careful. Be careful. Because they'll hurt you. Hallelujah. Most of friends in your own house, they'll hurt you. As a matter of fact, it's not people that hate you that's going to hurt you. It's people that love you. Glory. Come on now. I'm going to preach in a minute. Before we run out of time. Hallelujah. Pillars. God has called us as pillars in the church. But somewhere along the line, we've got to deal with one major thing. And that is to be a people of integrity and a people that's real, a people that will simply speak the truth. I've been hurt. Lord, you are my healer. Hallelujah. I've been wounded. I've been ostracized. But you are my healer. I got to be in Amarillo, Texas one time. And so Baptist brother there just blessed my heart. The Lord led me right over to his church on a Sunday morning. Yeah, you mean he wasn't Pentecostal? No, he wasn't Pentecostal. And I just got so blessed with his preaching. I'm telling you, he preached hard. You'd think that roof was going to go up. Boom, 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 the power and authority that was coming forth. And you'd think he was trying to run them all off. He told me later, he says, I'll do it every Sunday. He showed me the desk. He said, this is the only thing I got left out of Bible college. And says, and I was ostracized and I spent many a prayer time and many a tears went on this desk. But you see, his attitude, how he reacted, because later on the line, that was dependent on his blessing. And he got that church full, and there were a couple hundred people, 300 people maybe in that church. And you could tell that not one of them, not one person, any better mess with a pastor. They better keep their lips off of him. They better keep their hands off of him. And they better bless him. You could tell it. That was in the atmosphere. That was in the hearts of the people. And it was just there. It was evident. You know, that's what God has called us to be. We'll go alongside, not try to run them, but be alongside to help in whatever capacity we can. Hello? It's real easy to find fault. It's a whole lot harder, but it's a whole lot better if you, instead of trying to enlarge the faults, you look for the good in somebody. And major on that instead of major on the bad, major on the good. I reminded this fellow, there was two guys in town. One of them was the meanest guy in town. The other was the nicest guy in town. Now, the meanest guy in town, he was a wife beater, he was a child abuser, he was a drunkard, he couldn't provide for his family, there was nothing good you could say about him. Well, he died one day. And there was, like I said, there was nothing good you could say about this guy. So they all waited around the coffin where the nicest guy in town came up, and just to wait to see what he had to say. He looked down over that guy, came back up and said, he's got pretty teeth, ain't he? You can find something good to say about somebody rather than look for the bad. Hello? Sometimes it's a little hard preaching. I think somebody might have that wounded spirit already. Somebody might have already been hurt, and they keep that person in the heart. You know why they keep that person in the heart? So they pull him out and beat him every once in a while. He ain't going to get away with that. I'm going to keep beating him for years and years and years and years. Let him go. Let her go. Let them go. Hallelujah. Let God bless them and you bless them. Hallelujah. It'll change your attitude. What if they never change? So? Well, that's not fair. Yes, it is. Yeah, they'll get what they sow. Hello? But you'll get what you sow too. You sow love and mercy and kindness and goodness and blessings towards someone that's hurt you, guess what? God's got to bless you. He's got to just go, he's just got to get excited. I'm reminded of the time that Stephen, hallelujah, was being stoned to death. What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He looked up and saw Paul, the enemy of the church, give the command, stone him. Well, how would you react in that? Somebody begin to kick you. Begin to slap you. Begin to spit on you. What would your reaction be? Hallelujah. I think I know on some of you. Hallelujah. And I don't want to find out. Hallelujah. But I know God is able to change even the stoniest heart so that it's not one that's going to retaliate when evil's done. The Bible teaches to pay back evil with good. In the book of Romans, it says pay back evil with good. I have this friend, and he had a machine shop. He'd done welding and stuff, and he worked for this big plant. He'd done a lot of contract working for him. And there was an ethanol plant to make, you squeeze the corn and get the juice out, you know, and they didn't drink it. They sold it for alcohol. But anyway, that was his. He'd done a lot of welding work and stuff, and they owed him several $1,000. So what are you going to do? Well, he stewed in his juice for a little bit. Finally, he sat down and he wrote him a letter. He says, I realize you guys are having a hard time. And so please find enclosed $5 to help you out. The next week, he got a check. Hallelujah. Just try loving someone they've done you wrong. Hello? Just try loving somebody that's done you wrong, and you know that they're going to get out even with you. They're going to do you in somehow. You just try loving them. Hello? You just try heaping it on. Are they going to change? I don't know, but you're already changing. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for a change in us. It's not always the other person that God's trying to reach. He may use the devil in them to stir you up so that you get cleansed. As a matter of fact, I found this great revelation. God goes through an awful lot of trouble to sort out and to find the best trial to put you in. Hello? To perfect you. He goes through a lot of work to do that. Hallelujah. You ought to appreciate that work. Glory to God. You ought to say, thank you for this trial coming up. Hallelujah. Thank you for that old sour look they gave me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I know they're thinking bad. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I know this one pastor, he said, don't you look at me in that tone of voice. I like that. Hallelujah. You know, our facial expressions can give away what we're thinking. They call it body language, how you dot your I's and cross your T's and so forth. The little innuendos, the little wags of the head and the little flipping someone off. Those things, they represent an attitude of the heart. Now, I know that this kind of type preaching, a lot of people don't really care to hear it, but that's all right anyhow. It's still the Word. God is looking at the motives and the attitudes of the heart, and He's weighing them tonight to try to find out if we're in the wanting, in the balance. Hallelujah. The Bible says an unjust balance is an abomination to the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know what? You can stand up and praise God and worship God. Hallelujah, dance a jig and all that stuff. But if you got bitter envy in your heart, you ain't fooling God a bit. You might not even be fooling the people around you because they might see some of the things you used to do or some of the things you're still doing. Hello. And God is wanting to clean up acts. Hallelujah. What a great time. Right before communion, let a man examine himself. Hallelujah. Listen, you don't have to if you don't want to. The rest of the Scripture talks about, for this cause many are sickly in the church and they die. It's up to you what your priorities are. Hallelujah. You can be sickly. You'll pray for somebody that's sick and they never get healed. And all of a sudden the Lord drops it in your heart that they've got unforgiveness against somebody. Hallelujah. Make a way, Lord, for me to say this one. It's kind of deep. Glory. Hallelujah. God is so good. I was praying for a sister one time, ministering deliverance. And we got to a certain point. It seemed like we couldn't get over that point. Finally, the Lord spoke to me and said she was contrary. So He gave me such grace, Brother Bob, to ask this question. And this is how it came out. Does your husband say you're stubborn and contrary? Oh, my. Well, yeah, he does. I said, well, he lives with you. He's right. You need to repent. 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 And God will heal you. And I didn't know I was getting this by revelation. I got home, I looked up in the dictionary, and it talks about the word contrary, and it says that medicine does not respond. Why, she didn't get healed. So she repented of being stubborn, and she got healed. I know I sound crazy, but I didn't have anything to do with it. I just was there, just a mouthpiece, just a hearpiece, you know, and that's the way it goes. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be something? It's just a simple little adjustment that we have to make, and everything will be all right. You ever turn the radio on, and, you know, it's halfway between this station and halfway between that one. You get some signals in, and it's pretty good, and then you get right in the middle of what you really get intent listening to. Here's something else come burping on. Hallelujah. I think sometimes Christians are like that. They're getting their signals crossed. Hallelujah. They're getting their wires crossed. They're feeding the wrong information's being fed into them. Hello? But you know, God is able to sort all that out. I never will forget when I went to that church. Well, it was another time. I went to a church in Kansas City, and here come this guy coming in there with shorts on. Yeah, he was. Coming in church with shorts on. Long hair, an earring, and no belly. I mean, you know, T-shirt cut off right here. Just bouncing in there. I'm thinking,
My self-righteous mind said, he can't be saved, but I hope he gets saved. And he sat there, waiting for this one. He sat there, praise worship coming, the guy lifted his hands. I said, well, I might be wrong about him. He lifted his hands and he worshiped God. I said, well, something's different about him anyway. Come time for the word, he opened his Bible and he opened a notebook. Took out a pen and began to take notes. I haven't seen that in church in so long. Hallelujah. And here was this unlikely person. You know what I found out? That the uncomely parts of the body of Christ are more necessary than those that's got it all together. Amen. Those that's got it all together. The uncomely or the unordinary or the unorthodox. They're more necessary in the body of Christ. If you don't believe that, let me come throw a rock on your big toe. Hello? That's how I learned it. A rock on the big toe. And it got all blue and black in there. And I lost that toenail. And if you've never lost a toenail or a fingernail, you have an experience that will glorify you. You won't be able to do this, you won't be able to do that, and every time you touch that thing, excruciating pain goes all the way from that toe right up to your head. Ah! You turn over in bed and that toe hits something else. Ooh! Hello? That's how I learned that little lesson. The uncomely parts, the toenails in the body of Christ are more important than the foots and the hands and the ankles and the hip bones and all that stuff. Those uncomely little parts are more necessary. And that was good news for me because I'm an uncomely part. Hallelujah! Yeah, just a little old toenail in the body. Well, overalls. Hallelujah. But I'm necessary. I'm necessary. Say it with me. He's necessary.
He's necessary.
And so am I.
So am I.
I'm going to act like it. Glory to God. What a revelation. I'm going to act like it. You know, we've been taught to act all of our age. My mother used to say, act your age. She got me started in acting career very early. Act like you got some sense. Act this, act that. We got a lot of Christians that's acting that's not really possessing. Tonight we're talking about possessing, not acting. Skip the theatrics. Don't act like everything's all right. Admit to God it's not all right. I hurt, God. I need help, Lord. I've been hurt. And take it to God. Let Him bring forth healing. Let Him bring forth healing. There's always going to be that something else that you need. Let God bring that healing. Suppose it is that just what we've spoken about, that wounded spirit. You've been hurt. You've been crossed one too many times. It's that straw that broke the camel's back, you often say. That just says there's been inward hurt. That just says there's something in there that needs to be healed. You know what I found out? From the animals, I found out something. A hurt dog will bite you. A hurt dog will bite you. I'm just transferring that on over to the people kingdom. A hurt person will hurt you. A hurt person hurts you. The scripture says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so easy to just blab something. But you know, that might hurt that other person. I found that out reading Bill Banks' book back there on deliverance from childlessness. And I don't know how many times, but in casual chit-chat conversation, I would say to a woman, how many kids you have? Not realizing the hurt and the pain that goes on in a woman that is not able to have a child and wants to have a child. And I had to ask the Lord to forgive me for hurting them even further. Well,
Just little bitty things like that the Lord's concerned about. Little bitty remarks that we make can defile somebody else. The Bible talks about Peter having our speech seasoned with grace. I think some of us have got garlic on it. Well, some of us have got onion breath. Some of us have got enchilada tongue. Some of us probably got plain diarrhea of the tongue. Hello? God is desiring to change. That's why the Bible says, be slow to speak. Slow to anger. Well, I misquoted that. Anyway, that's what it says. Be slow to speak. One time the Lord put me on a zipper lip fast. How many have ever heard of Carlton Pearson? Well, he was one of our hometown boys in Bishop Blake's church back in San Diego. And he came back to church one time, and of course they made these flyers out and so passed them out. So I stood on the corner of 4th and Broadway in San Diego, passing them flyers out and just smiling, inviting people to come to church. Lord wouldn't want me to say a thing. But I was fasting, lip fast, and praying for that service. And I was also praying for everybody that handed that track. It was like having a healing cloth in the hand to me. And I was praying for him. I smiled and I was praying for him. I didn't need to brag about him. God was the one wanting to be lifted up. And I had the most awesome experience when he came. Up there in the balcony, there's a brother, that brother that I had met in Las Vegas. I used to go in the casinos and pray, scratch my nose, pray in tongues, and start witnessing. So I'd get kicked out of a few of them, you know. But there I was, and I just set myself up at a blackjack table. I wasn't playing blackjack at the time. I said, okay, Lord, send me somebody. And here he come. He's trotting over there. Got to witness to him. Got to minister to him. Planted a seed in his life. Here's that black brother up there in that church, in the balcony. And Carlton called out a healing for high blood pressure and pointed right at him. And he was healed. And I was so thankful that I witnessed to him. But I had an opportunity to speak with words that were seasoned with grace, enough to draw him back in, not to slap at him because he was backslid, and not to call him all sorts of things, but to reach him with grace, with the ministry of grace from my lips. And that's what God is desiring out of all of us, to minister to people with the grace, to minister to the hearer grace. Not a bunch of gossip, hello? Not a bunch of, oh, woe is me type of thing, but minister grace. Minister grace. Minister grace. God's wanting to do something here tonight, but I don't want to prolong the time. Hallelujah. Just think about that. Seek the Lord, and perhaps it's you. Carrying around the wounded spirit. Carrying around the grudge. Just want to get somebody because they've done you wrong. Why, that brother that owed me that $400 I talked to you about this morning, I know he wasn't a brother, he wasn't saved. And I'd done that work on his house and he didn't want to pay me. I had a friend that was in pest control. And he had this new stuff, this new bug killer. He said, Brother Bruce, I'll go out there because he wants me to come spray his house for a bug. And I got this stuff and it'll curdle that paint on the wall. I said, no, leave him to me. I want to get him. And I had it in my heart, I want to get back at that guy. And believe me, you know, you stood in your juice a little while, you think of ways to get back at somebody. And I was stirring in that juice until we come to worship service that night, and we're just rejoicing and praising God and lifting up His majesty. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and told me that money was so trivial compared to eternal life. Hallelujah. Tonight I'm headed for eternal life. Glory, you're headed for eternal life. Those things that people's done to you are irrelevant, and they're so minute. Give them up. Give them up. Give them to God tonight. Thank you so much.
Brother Bob, are you? Just turn it on. Turn you down a little bit there. Well, Bruce, those were very good words.
Yes, they
mean it. Very good words.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God.
Said the Canes. We're going to minister to you tonight a little bit. Honey, you heard a speech on favor. Anybody?
Read the book.
I'm going to talk to you about favor a little bit. I wasn't going to give you the rest of the scriptures on the rivers of God, but let's just go ahead and talk about favor. Now, in the Jeremiah 31:3, God says, I have loved thee.
With an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee.
Now, this is the key to favor. For the heart of God is the key to favor. What would God do in these situations like Bruce was talking about? How would the heart of God respond to somebody doing you dirty? He wouldn't react to it. He would look at the problem, look at the background, and perhaps that guy's closer to God than you are in a certain sense, you know. He doesn't have the right you have, maybe, or whatever. But God knows his background. And you put up with him for a while. And so we need to walk in love. But I really am working, confessing I have the heart of God, the heart of the Father. That way you don't react to a bunch of junk. And you don't want to hurt people. You don't want to even joke too much. You follow me? So God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. That's pretty good, isn't it? Now, that's the nature that's in you. So the biggest part of the nature of the Father, the heart of the Father, is he loves. He doesn't go around killing and hating. I mean, he can kill. He can knock
and
kill.
He does on occasion.
That's been brought out a couple of times in this convention, that this camp meeting, about if you get the wrong attitude, why, you're going to die. You're going to get sick and you're going to sound like you're dead already, he says. So, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. So I want to confess that I draw people with love rather than a fist. So, if you give love, you'll receive love. And what else, honey?
And you give a fist, you get a fist.
That's pretty simple, isn't it?
Yeah, several years ago, we had a couple of our grandsons with us. And they were brothers. And you know how brothers can get in a car, about 7 or 9, something like that. And how they can get bickering and fussing and fuming. And, so I finally said, why don't you try to get those truck drivers to blow their horn at you? Well, I gave them something to do, and they started working on the truck drivers instead of one another. And the pleasure that they got working, a lot of the drivers started blowing their horn at them. It was just a blessing.
You know, the Bible says that God spends his... extends his love and mercy to
thousands.
Yeah. Not just singular, I don't think. Yeah, thousand. And then his wrath, though, just goes to the third and fourth generation. Now, that's, when you figure that out mathematically, you can't really do it.
I don't know where the decimal point goes on.
So it would be 99% plus 99% mercy.
Hallelujah.
So that's the nature of God. He puts up with rotten eggs for a while. Praise God, praise God, praise God. So, in 2 Peter 1:4 tells us we're partaker of God's divine nature. Now, Ephesians 1:6 says he's made us what, honey? Accepted.
Accepted in the beloved.
So you've been accepted. I want to ask you something. What would your attitude be if you were accepted as the chosen one to receive $5 million because of your personality and whatever. You did something, and you've been chosen out of perhaps 10,000 people, and you're getting $2,000 for your, you know, whatever it was you did. What would you have to be that after they handed you that $2,000, that $2 million?
Well, you have one thing, you couldn't wipe the grin off your face.
I mean, if you got any sense, I don't, you know, if you don't just blow it all and everything, but your attitude would be, somebody says, I don't like you, well, that's your problem, bless your heart. I don't have time to fool with that. And, say he goes down to get a job, he doesn't need a job, he's got $2 million, but say he goes down to get a job, what's his attitude?
Praise God.
Glory to God.
Praise God.
I've been accepted in the beloved. You've been accepted in God's kingdom.
And you know, the thing is, that word accepted is actually grace.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, you've been favored.
You've been graced or favored in the beloved.
So it's the same thing. So you've been graced in Jesus. And so you are the most special person in town. If you get your attitude right about who you are, without a smart aleck spirit, the moment you hit the smart aleck spirit, you're an idiot. Because you're walking in the flesh again, and the flesh is unfruitful and unprofitable. So, praise God, what time did we start here? About 30 mark, didn't we?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. So, hallelujah, I've been accepted. That's what's the next one there, Mother?
1 John 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Well, God's mercy, God's nature is all that love and mercy. To where he's 99.99% pure mercy. And his wrath is in there. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to get in on that wrath no matter what percent is. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell, see, but they're going to hell, all right. All right? Now, the word grace, actually, the word grace is the same as the word favor in the Scriptures. And Strong says it's the divine influence on the heart.
And it's reflection in your life.
It's reflections in your life.
Now, you've seen people get saved, and you see them turn on. Just a light bulb turns on.
And another thing that's interesting about grace, it means you're a liberal. Okay.
That word that
1 Corinthians 16:3, honey.
And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality into Jerusalem.
Or to bring your grace.
But it was that they had taken up an offering to send to Jerusalem their liberality, their grace gifts.
So God wants you to operate in the heart of God. I bought me a new car in 83, a new Crown Vic Ford. And then I got me a little...
Puddle jumper.
Nissan. Nissan. That was 83, got me a new Nissan just running around town. And I got home, and God said, give it to your son-in-law. Well...
Now, he didn't say, give it to our daughter.
Yeah.
And our son-in-law is one of those that we have to pray about.
See, praise God, praise God.
Amen.
Praise God, praise God. Finally, I called my daughter. Didn't ask him, though. Never did call him. Because same the difference. And I said, Francis, you can have my new car. She said, I don't want.
It's a two-door.
It's a two-door. No, no, that's...
I mean, after all, what she was driving was just barely getting there.
I mean, it's always broke down, and I had to fix it. And that's that similar deal. And so, I finally said, well, tell you what, I'll buy a used car and help you get in the house.
That was an expensive decision.
It really wasn't. Really wasn't God's plan, I think, but we did. So I gave her $10,000 to start with to get in the house. And then got her this $3,500 car, $3,500, and that thing was just trouble, 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 trouble. Every time I come in from a meeting, I'd have to get that car and get it fixed. They didn't have money to get it fixed. But finally, after 1 year, I come home and it broke down again. I says, get down here and get this car. So I got my car plus my $10,000.
And then on top of that, she had another $10,000 loan on the house, and we ended up paying that one off.
I paid it off so she wouldn't get in such a bind, and she never made me over two or three payments. Now, that's a daughter for you. Are you all out there? Praise God, praise God.
I'm sure some of you have had similar stories.
Well, hallelujah. Now, the word, you don't always use here, but gifts. Romans 6:23 said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, that word is grace.
Grace, caris.
I don't know, maybe caris, but I'm not sure. But it's grace is a gift. But grace, or the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Luke 2:40 said the grace of God was on Jesus. In Jesus Christ, in you, have you lost any grace?
Nope.
All right, so the grace of God is on you. Now Luke 2:52 said Jesus increased
in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man.
Did you get that? Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, favor with God and man. Praise God, praise God. Now, this has really been a very powerful scripture to help kids get better grades in school.
When we first started using that for kids getting grades in school, our neighbor came up and the husband, if he was saved, it was barely. And they were always having friction in the home. And so the kids were, they suffer from it. And so she came up and said, what can I do for my kids? Well, the boys failing and the girls making D's. So Bob told her to start confessing this verse of 2:52. And put their name in it every morning. And that's what she did. She had each one of them say that their name. I drew them increasing in favor with my fellow students and with my teachers. And in 6 weeks, instead of making F's, he was making C's. And the girl, instead of making B's, was making B's.
Well, I wrote that in my book. When I do it, people write me the problem and I'd answer the scriptures on favor. Because I had used this favor scripture when I was going from one meeting to another, and one pastor to another, and one meeting in all kinds of churches, Episcopalians and everything else. So I used to confess favor on the way that we have favor with these people, they love us, we love them.
Now, there is no way that we can minister to you if we don't have favor with you.
So this is very powerful that you have a good attitude toward yourself. I have favor with them. That puts you in pretty good shape. I've been accepted by them. I've been accepted by God. I've been accepted by them. We're using that way. So Luke 2:52 is there's a girl in there's a pastor preached on favor up in Hayes, Kansas. There's a girl in that church. Little girl about like this one here, I'd say. Just a preteen, whatever. And so she
maybe a little younger.
She never had any friends, and so Mommy and Dad got that scripture, Luke 2:52, and they'd hold hands with the daughter every morning and confess she had favor, and that she was increasing in wisdom, which would be intellect included in that.
And studies.
And in her schoolwork, and her fellow students, she had favor with them. So every morning she'd go with that attitude. I have favor with my students today. And very, very quickly she came home just full of smiles because she had all these friends. And they went on like that and then pretty soon they dropped it. And the little girl had been in such a deep pit from her earlier.
Emotionally, she was down.
And she came home then after a while crying. She lost her friends. But Daddy and Mommy started back up confessing favor. Now, some people don't need that confession. They already have it because they've been strong, the family life strong and everything. They don't need it. But even those kids would be helped by it. So I want to encourage you now to get your kids Now, it's usually an emotionally disturbed person. Some kids, you can confess whatever you want to, and they're still going to get low grades. Is that right when you put that in there? Just don't make a gimmick out of God. And none of this stuff you make a gimmick on.
But we have had so many testimonies of kids having trouble in school and coming out. Like there was one kid in West Texas that he had been promoted, social promotion, till he got ready to go into high school. And they got that look on favor just as he was going into high school. And he started working on it. And the daddy came to a full gospel businessman where Bob was preaching and told him his testimony. The kid had just graduated from 4 years of high school on the A honor roll all 4 years.
See, Romans 4:11, Paul said, I'm just excited about getting there. I'm going to give you some charisma. Do you have that kind of a spirit? Say, yeah, I got it. Wherever I go, I'm going to dump some charisma.
And wherever I go, I'm going to dump some charisma.
That's what he said. Boy, I'm so anxious to be there because I know I got something to give you. Every one of you's got something to give people around you. So whenever you get there, you're going to use some charisma.
Some actually, the Greek on it would be charisma, but we're used to charisma. Let's leave it there.
Now, in John 7:45, this is an interesting scripture. It said that, they said to the police, how come you didn't bring him? They sent him after Jesus, see, to take him captive.
And they said, nobody ever spoke like this.
Yeah, verse 46 says, we never heard a God talk like this. You see, you have the charm of God. That's another word under Strong's for what this scripture of grace actually is. Charm of God. Not charm like witchcraft, but the charm of God. And so I want all of you to smile and say, I have that supernatural,
irresistible,
magnetic, personality of God.
People love me,
and I love people. You know, this person, he got tossed out of this business. He was parts house. He went in there to sell him some his company. They said, we don't want your product. We like the product we got. We don't want you to get out.
Don't you ever come back either.
So he got the favor book. He started reading it. And he come up and he looked at that sign and he says, I have favor in here. He went in and sold them.
Yeah.
Praise God. Yeah. So Kyle down in South Texas, working all the week selling diesel fuel to the rigs. He had favor with his sales, the people he sold to him, and he had favor with his immediate boss. Sometimes you get this favor working here, but not there. So you gotta work on that, see. Spread it out instead of just this area of favor. Let's get it all going. But anyway, his immediate boss didn't like him because he was jealous of him. I think he was jealous because the guy was such a good salesman. And, so he finally acted so much that the company sent down a guy to check this fella out. So he got in the car with Jerry, and the company representative said, Jerry, have you been in this rig? He said, no. And he said, well, pull in.
So Jerry pulled in, and within 5 minutes he had sold him a tanker load of diesel every week. I mean, on a regular basis, pretty good sale. And they walked out, and the supervisor says, how in the world did you do that? We've been trying to get into that rig for 5 years. Well, all Jerry did was pull out his favor book and start teaching the guy on favor.
Well, he came in that night then, and this fellow from the higher office went in and said, listen, this guy's the best salesman we've got. And if I had ever hear another negative word about this guy, he said, you're going to go.
Now, Jerry called us a couple of weeks later and said he was now driving the desk.
Yeah, he's been promoted already. There's not a favor that you're missing, see. He was kind of a stupid little girl. Stupid, because I only a
She had to be a little bit stupid to do that.
She had that baby break and she went wild. She said, boy, this guy got an increase in his salary. He's in the airport. She said, I think I'll try that. See if it'll work for me.
Yeah, that first thing, that wasn't real stupid, because, I mean, that's a good deal.
She went in and got through.
Yeah.
And she went in and got confessed praise and went in there, and they gave her an increase right away. What happened, honey?
No questions, but she walked out the door, and she no sooner got out the door, and she said, that was so easy. I don't think I asked for enough.
So,
and so right after lunch, she went back in and asked for another raise. The same day.
You might have got her a stupid girl. But you know what? They didn't fire her. Who gave it to her?
Who gave it to her?
Oh. And you know what? Somebody else got a raise. So I was telling this story one morning. I think in Tennessee. I'm not sure where we're here. Mine's in Arkansas. But I was telling this story, and this little girl said, that's me. And she raised her hand. She was sitting right there. And the other girl next door said, yeah, we work in the same place, and we're still mad. Just joking, see. But, so, you know, that's interesting. I only knew about it before.
But now then, we've also got a real good testimony from Benton.
Mm-hmm.
Benton. Just right up the road.
Yeah.
This is a girl wrote Bob and says, she was really thin, ended up saying, well, I'm not a bad looking girl, but I can't get a date. And just really ran herself down for two whole pages. And said, I just cannot get a date. And Bob wrote her these scriptures, favor scriptures. In a week's time, got an answer back. Said, you wouldn't believe it, but I'm already engaged. We were up there a couple of months later, and she introduced us to her fiance, to herself and her fiance. And sure enough, it was a different one. She had already dumped the first one and gotten another one. She had this thing working. A few months later, she took somebody to the altar. I don't know whether it was one of those two or somebody else.
John 1:16, if it's filled with a ball, received grace on top of grace. It's loaded with it. And the scripture says, the law was given by Moses. Where was that?
But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
It's John 1:14, I did. It's in that area somewhere. The law was given by Moses. Yes, 17. The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Do you know there was so much grace under the Old Testament David, he committed murder.
And
adultery. And both of those required by the law.
First stoning offenses.
Death. And so God forgave him.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.